And we'll start with a very enjoyable part of it. This is what the Yom Baruch Pinko writes, this in the Sefer, Mishulchan Rav Baruch. You'll see it's an enjoyable part of it. Not that other things are not. And then afterwards we'll do the Lundus. We'll put the order just a little bit. The Pasuk describes the plight of Yosef HaTzadik. I would tell you, take a look at the Ramban, the very beginning of the Parsha, in Zilish, and you saw the Sada. That's where the Ramban writes at great length that this Parsha is so important in terms of Hashkafas HaTorah, where the Ramban writes, Rabos Makshavos Levish, Atzas Hashem Yisakum, that recognize a person can do whatever it is that he intends, but ultimately it's the Gzeiras Hashem that obviously will prevail. That's the quote of the Ramban. Gzeira Kadosh Baruch Hu is true. Charitzus means man's attempts, man's industriousness, to go ahead and to do this and do that is all sheker. And therefore you see how everything played out when it comes to Yosef HaTzadik. But Yosef HaTzadik was hopelessly lost. And all of a sudden, Vayin Tziuish, Amalek Gavriel comes, because all of this was in order to fulfill the bris ben habasarim. So take a look at that Ramban. Incredibly, incredibly powerful. The pasuk describes that how is it that Yosef somehow was able to eventually end up in Mitzrayim. And the Torah says that an Archos Yishmelim came, and they transported him, and he was sold indeed into slavery. And what's somewhat surprising, Rashi immediately comments, no, Paragon of Zion, Pasuk Chavei, that this caravan was somewhat unusual. After all, it was Nosim, Nechos, Utsri, Volot. You know what? That's very atypical. Normally, such a caravan would have a Reach Ra. It would be carrying oil and the like, and all of a sudden here it was carrying Nesamim, balsam, spices, and therefore, oh, this is an important Musar Haska. Rashi writes, why does the Torah have to tell us what they were carrying? Why is that relevant? Oh, Lodim Matan Skarn Shol Tzadikim, Rashi writes. Now, in order to recognize, the Hashkafas Hashem, the finest detail. It's an unusual depiction of the Torah tells us. Unusual depiction. Imagine, the Rachmana Litzlan, that a person is taken captive, a person is abducted, and all of a sudden they're being sold into slavery, and you see the report on the news, and it says, you know what, but we noticed, attached to the front mirror, that were one of those evergreen air fresheners. Now, at least the scent in the car was a pleasant one. At least the scent in the car was the present one. They'd probably get up and scream, like, why in the world is that relevant? Why in the world is that relevant? It's so tragic that a person is being sold into slavery. The fact that, there are besumim in the caravan that brought him there, why is that considered to be of any significance whatsoever? That's the kasha. What is it that the Torah is telling us? So, Yochanan Finkel offers seven terutzim, and each one is l'shitasei. That's what it's a sharp. And each one is l'shitasei of the derech of the yeshiva, the derech of Musa, of the bala memra of that particular terutz. So he begins with the following: the bali Musa of Kelim would often speak about the Midas Hadin and the Diktuk Hadin of HaKadosh Baruch when it comes to Mishpat. In every system of justice, a person commits a crime, there's a consequence. But to make sure that the consequence fits the crime, that's not something that's so easy. You have to have a great insight, broad shoulders, to be able to know that, this is in Singapore, and therefore this minor crime does not get a catastrophic punishment. No. To know what the right balance is. Kadosh Baruch Hu, everything is betachli sadiktuk. Everything's betachli sadiktuk. Nothing more, nothing less. Nothing more, nothing less. So in Kelim, they would explain exactly the Svama Chazal, the Srashi, the Sposu, in that following way, that it's true that there were many, many moving parts. This was part of the Bris Ben HaBesarim. And yet at the same time, the Gemara on Shabbos criticizes Yaakov for favoritism and so on. Everything had to be thrown into the mix in terms of what the appropriate consequence would be, right, of what happened with the Ache Yosef. But one thing is clear, and that is whatever Kadosh Baruch Hu does, it's not just an approximation. It's not just, generally speaking, oh, the crime meets the punishment, the punishment is worthy of the offense, so everything is done betachlis, betachlis adit. And that, and Kelembe would say, was exactly like, the message of that Rashi. In other words, given holistically everything that occurred, this is what was appropriate at that time, but not an inch more, not an inch more. And therefore, even very minute, or even very trivial things in our mind, no. When you're dealing with something that is exquisitely, exquisitely precise, you're not going to be an inch off. A surgeon is not going to be an inch off in his surgery, no? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is implementing what is the proper consequence of everything that's occurring in order to fulfill, I would add, like that Ramban about the Gzera HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is so meticulously exquisite that it is absolutely appropriate, no less, no more. And therefore, yes, even something like the Besamim, as opposed to Neft and carrying Yosef to Mitzrayim, that was part of the calculation of the Tachlis Dikduk Hadin. That was the teres that they used to give in Kelem. He writes that in Slabatka, there their machshava was a great emphasis on kavod habrios, dignity of a person, that even if a person can be in a dire situation, but a person has to maintain themselves with royalty, because realize that you're in Eved Hashem, that Ramban we discussed very recently, no, Veikri Yeches, that you know what, we're in Golos, but we have to maintain ourselves in a certain way, even in Golos. That's not at all irrelevant. And if a Bas Melech is exiled from the palace, but she has to conduct herself as a Bas Melech, that's what Kvod HaBrios demands, that's what is necessary. There's a certain sense of Gadlus, of the Nefesh HaAdam, Romamus, dignity, and therefore that's how they would explain this as well. That even though, no doubt, that it was like an Eis Sarah, but nonetheless, you know what Kadosh Baruch Hu saw too, with that Yosef HaTzadik was able to be taken to Mitzrayim in a more dignified fashion, where it was Besamim as opposed to the Neft, and that's an important Musa Haskel. Never to be Mi'ayish, never to give up that sense of the Gadlus, the Ramamusav, the Nefesh. Then he continues, and he writes that, you know what, in the Vardik, it was a very different school of Musa, very different than Slavaka. He writes, in the Vardik, they would speak about, you know, the Shiflus of it, how a person on the scale of things is like a lower creature, in the sense that, you know, a person gives in to his Yetzara, and a person is unable to combat Nisyonos and so on. Different schools of Musa, whether you stress Romus, like as we do in the Yeshiva, or whether it's like the Navardic Musa, it's a little bit the opposite. And the Navardic Musa used to comment that, you know what, it's not so unusual, you see it all the times, that a person can be in a situation where you're faced with Dvarim Ha'omdim Rumo Sha'olam, and a person becomes derailed by small things. Now, the Rambam writes, like, Shokhagin HaSemes B'Havle HaZman. You know what? Somehow that a trivial matter, right, all of a sudden is relevant in an Esara. Instead of just saying, you know what, none of that matters anymore. You should be focusing on the Esara. And this is Navardik, how they used to explain this Parsha, that sometimes it's so hard for a person, after all, because he's kovo achrei inyanei haolam. Kovo means you're bound. You're so connected to certain types of things that, you know what, that even when so much is at stake, the focus indeed can be off. And that was kind of the takeaway, the Moser Haskel, that, you know, even though it might sound unusual that a person is being taken to slavery and attention is given to whether or not the caravan is pleasant smelling or whether it's a foul smell, it's telling you about the human nature of a person, that sometimes those trivial things have a life of their own, even when what is at stake is Dharma Omdim, promotional. The next Eretz that he gives, the name of Achaim Shmulevitz, this is something that I often speak of now. This was the Sicha last week and the Sicha the week before. Now that in Geula, no doubt, when a person is living in times of absolute Hashkachas Hashem, it's common to experience Nisim. It's common to experience nisim. But to be able to experience something which is so highly unusual in an Eis Tzara, that's something which is miraculous. That's something which is empowering. Recently we discussed, another Sigma Basra, Kuf Kaf Aleph. Why is it that Tu B'Av is considered to be such a day of great simcha, lo hayom tov niyisrael, b'gram brachas daf memches, that because of Harugi Beitar, Chazal or Koveya the bracha, Vatov HaMeitiv, and Birchas HaMazam, it sounds again so unusual, because Harugi Beitar was tragic, it was a terrible calamity, the Rambam, Berkei Pachostanios, it was 50 years after the Korban HaMayis, where the hopes of Bnei Yisrael to build a Beis HaMikdash were so clear, and every hope was dashed, and we were slaughtered. Was there a silver lining? Yeah, you know what? Nikta l'kvura. Was there a silver lining? Lo hisrifu. So, you know, when you see that, Harugi Beita, this is a Meshachachma, Parshas Ekev, Chesiu, that you would think, okay, it could have been worse, but nonetheless, it was horrific, it was catastrophic. And you see from Chazal, it's transformative. Lo yom tov ni Yisrael. To experience even what seems to be, relatively speaking, a minute nace, when you're faced with a horrific background, that is the greatest indicator of Imo Anochi Batzan. Imo Anochi Batzan. That even though it's clear that a person is deserving of, or it's clear that the Hashkachas Hashem requires this, but all of a sudden you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, Shechinta Bagalusa. And therefore, like, you look for the smaller signs. When you have a Beis HaMikdash, you look for Nisim Gluyim. When you're living times of Golos, you have to hone your vision to appreciate the Nisim Nistarim. That's exactly the Ramban at the very end of Parshas Bo. If in Golos you can look for Nisim Gluyim, you know what? You're going to fall short. But if you're going to be able to understand Hashkachas Hashem in Nisim Nistarim, so that's the key. That's the key to the Nes of Purim, and that's the key to the elements of the Nisim of Hanukkah that we'll discuss. That now, to be able to recognize Hashkachas Hashem, especially based on the true measure of friendship of Imo Anochi Batzar. That's true Reus. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz explained exactly this point, that here, absolutely, it's horrific. And there seems to be something here that is so, so unusual, no? That nosim nechosu tzri valot, you could dismiss that as being absolutely, absolutely irrelevant. But in the broader image, to recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu is with you, everything is for purpose, that galus is an opportunity to be able to, and not the moment of despair, so that's something that is earth-shattering. That's something of Lohem Tov Niyasel, Chazal or Kofei Debracha, Atov HaMeitiv, because of such Hashkafa. So that's how Chaim Shmulevitz interpreted how this pasuk. That even though, no doubt, it was absolutely calamitous, but all of a sudden, when you witness something such as that, it changes your focus. You recognize, like the Ramban writes, the beginning of the Parsha, HaGzer Emes, Bacharitzu Sheker, that this was a fulfillment of the Bris and other side. Wow. Many continues and quotes, a teretz that they used to say in Brisk. And the teretz in Brisk was as follows, that, you know, a person finds themselves down and out, you know, in such a reality that what's the antidote? What exactly is the response? No doubt. Lulei soras v'shashua. No? You know what? You have to seek a safe haven. You have to seek refuge. And what's the haven? What's the refuge? Esek b'tov. Well, and bris, that's the thing, you know? You're being sold as a slave, you know, it means, you know, use the Torah Hashem and Eidot Tev to see to it that you absolutely emerge. And their terrors was, you know, there's certain environments where it's not appropriate to learn, you know? If there's an exceeding re'ach ra, no, you don't have that opportunity to do so. You know, so imagine the Eis Tzara where you don't have that aid, you don't have that tool. You know what? So imagine all of a sudden Yosef HaTzadik is being transported, and all of a sudden this caravan shows up, and instead of carrying dung and manure and everything else that was typical, no, it's carrying a chos with tzri valot, you know? So that was what enabled him to be able to embrace the Torah Hashem that he persevered. Well, then he continues, and he quotes a sixth of ferrets, and that is what they used to say in the yeshiva of Tells, because the Tells, you know, that we refer to that Ran Le'Darm, no? As the Tells are Ran, about Darish Eishon Atiri, no? This, that, you know, different mashalim they used to have in Tells. It was in Ilui in Tells, no, Rav Mato Pargamansky. You can look online, there are many, many stories about this. Miraculously, he survived the Shoah. Like, they described like Nisim, when he was known as the Ilui of the Yeshivas. So he had said at that time that, you know what, imagine that you see a person that is, he's holding a knife, and he's about to, he's about to pierce a person's flesh. And one model is, right, a trained surgeon. And another model is a rotzeach. How do you tell the difference between, right, the rofei ne'eman as opposed to the rotzeach? So as a mashal, he said the following, look at the knife, no? You look at the rotzeach's knife, the sword that he's using. It's probably rusted, it's probably bloodied, it's probably, filthy, you look at the scalpel that the surgeon uses, it's free of any, it's something that is maintained absolutely ba'of and anaki bi'oseh. Now you have to make sure that it's sterile. It's absolutely sterile. When you see a doctor operate with a sterile knife, that's lutoelis. And when you see that the person is using a weapon that's foul, so that is something that is very, very destructive. So as the Moshe said here, that Yosef HaTzadik is being taken to Mitzrayim, and that was for the purpose of fulfillment of the bris van habasarim. It's not coincidental that the environment was, right, a sterile environment, an appropriate environment, a conducive environment, which shed light on the fact that that indeed was the entire purpose of what was happening. And the last teretz that he quotes is the Hasidus teretz, right? He quotes the name of the Admor Ivarke. I'm not quite sure, you look it up. The Varke Rav, okay? Who said the teretz is this? The Gemara in Brachos and Daf Mem Bei says the summing is something that Hanashaman in Israel. No, the summing is trivial. Why is the summing trivial? The Minagan Lel Shabbos that they would use the summing. The summing is Mesi Vesanefesh. So when Yosef was carrying and the caravan was full of the summing, that gives chiyus to the nefesh. That gives chiyus to the neshama, and those are his seven turds into the kasha. Each one based on like a hashkafa, like a school of thought, the shitase, in terms of how they generally speaking are able to analyze the psukei Torah. So take a look. This is in Yishofen Rebbe Leobaro, something very 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 sharp. Okay, in terms of the wonders. The episode of Yehudin Tamar. Tamar is married, and her husband Er is killed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of Aveira. Onan is killed. After all, that Yehuda turns to his son Onan and tells him to perform the mitzvah of Yibum. No? After all, Baal Eisha Sachicha, the Yadimosa. And he was not willing to go ahead and to do so. And the hesitancy of involvement of Sheila to marry Tamar, and ultimately Yehuda. There's a very important Ramban, the Ramban Lamed Cheshes, where the Ramban writes that Kodem Matan Torah, that was Yibum. Kodem Matan Torah, that was Yibum. You would begin with the Ach of the Niftar, but it was the closest of kin. So if a brother could not do Yibum, it would expand even to Shar Krogim as well. So the concept of Yibum, L'hokim Shem L'hokim Ha'nes, right, which we know L'acham Atzim Torah is more limited. Right here, it's something which is more expanded, Kodem Matan Torah, and that was fulfilled Al Yedei Yehuda. So the first attempt is fulfilled through the Ach Ha'nes, right, and if that cannot be done, wow, Kodem Matan Torah, that posuk, the Yibim Osav, that extended even to Yehuda as well. Ramban's Mufurish. This was a form, right, of Yibum, although clearly, like many other mitzvahs, it shifted in terms of detail. La'achar matan Torah. So we recently discussed, when it comes to Yibum, right, the following issue. how important is the lishma, the kavanas hagavra, when it comes to the mitzvah of yibum? How important is it indeed it is being done? It is being done lishma. After all, if Yehuda, that was yibum, recognized that that certainly was not the mindset. Yehuda was unaware. That was the certainly far from a attempt to fulfill the mitzvah of yibum. But indeed, what occurred is that the close of kin married Tamar, and that was a kiyum in that sense. But clearly, it was not yibum that was done l'shem mitzvah. This is a heavy sugya. No, the sugya of Amos and Daf Gimel in a greater length and Daf Lamedes. That what exactly is the role of Kavanas Hagavra when it comes to Yibum? So the Gemara quotes Machlokas between Abashol and Chachamim, where Abashol says, Yibum presents a significant challenge. Because what happens if Hakonin says Yibimto, L'shem Noi, L'shomishus, L'shom Davar Acher? A person is engaging in Yibum, but not for the purpose of the mitzvah of Yibum, or not exclusively for the purpose of the mitzvah of Yibum. A person is doing it for other purposes, like the Shem Noi, the Shem Yishus. After all, the Yavim is going to get, as we discussed a few days ago, an extra share of Nachla. He'll get Pishnayim. So Abishol says that's terrible. Ki'ilu poge be'erva, and v'karod be'ena liyal savlad ramze. Well, ki'ilu, poge be'erva. And the Chachamim say, no, that's not true. Yevamo yavala mikoma. Yevamo yavala mikoma. Wow. How important, everybody agrees, ideally, of course, the mitzvah should be done in the purest, most pristine way. But how critical is the kavana of Yibum? Yibum shelo l'shem mitzvah. Sama Shol says, it's terrible, it's tragic, kilopo geverva, ad kedei kach, that because of this, mitzvah chalitza kodemes, the mitzvah Yibum. We're not going to allow Yibum. Because the requirements of Yibum are so significant in terms of the Kavana Salev that, even though it's clear from the Torah that Chalitza is the fallback, the Dieved, not L'chachila, but no, not if Yibum is not going to end properly, and the Chachamim disagree, Yivam Yavaleh. Well, that's a stunning machlokes. Abishol L'chachamim. Ooh, the Ramban. Ramban is bothered by the following. What do you mean? There's a Mishnah. And the Mishnah says that, what do you mean? Haba'al yavimta, ben b'shoge, ben b'mezit, ben ba'ones, ben b'ratza, kana. Yibum is fulfilled regardless of, whether it's b'shoge, b'mezit, ba'ones, Yibum does not require das, take a look at the Rav Chaim, for Dado v'chusim ha'chalitza, Yibum does not require das, and therefore, the Rambam never mentions any need for Eidim for Yibum. Because Eidus Lekima Davar is only necessary as a function of Das Davar Shebe'erva. Kedushin requires Das, and therefore you need Eidim. But Yibum does not require Das. And even though as a result of Yibum, Nasis Kisha L'chal Davar, wow, that's a creation of Ishus without Eidim. That's a huge machlokas Rishonim. Whether Yibum requires Eidus Lekimah. Why would you say Yibum is not a Davar Shebe'erva? After Yibum, she's an Eishes Ish. If she's Mezana after Yibum, she's killed. Before Yibum, absolutely not. No? It's a Davar Shebe'erva? No, but the Rambam writes it doesn't require Das Davar Shebe'erva. How do you know? A Mishnah, no? Ben Beshoge, Ben Bemezid, Ben Ba'ones, Ben. So that's the Kashna Ramban. How in the world does this fit with Abishol? The Mishnah says that Yibum is chal, kana, ben b'shogig, ben b'mezer, ben b'mamas, ben ratzan, and Abishol says that, what do you mean? That if it's not done for the purpose of the mitzvah, it's ki'ilah pogeya be'erva. Wow, so that's pretty incredible. So you know what the Ramban writes? Unbelievable, no? The Ramban writes, you're right, that the Mishnah is against Abishol. The Mishnah is against Abishol. Abishol would not agree to this. Abishol, who says that if you don't have the proper mindset, kilo poge verva, and karve benayin yosavad mamzer, he would not agree that Yibum is sal, the memezi, the beshoge, gonna zeratza, And the Ramban writes, ooh, you know what we see from this? Me'ata b'dor mukhra shahalacha k'divrei chachamim. The fact that we paskin like the Mishnah, Daf and Gimel, that's a raya muchachas that we reject Abba Shaul. That's unbelievable. No, that's the Ramban. Yivamos naflamates. And that's against the Ritva on that Mishnah. The Ritva on that Mishnah writes the following, Abba Shaul, ve'efshir d'Abba Shaul midrabanan ka'amar. Abba Shaul's not disagreeing with the Mishnah. Mi'ikar ha'din daraisa. Ayivu mischal ben b'meizib ben b'shogi ben ba'onas b'paratzon. Abba Shaul's consideration, ki'ilu, all of that's a din d'rabanan. But Abba Shaul certainly indeed would agree. Well, certainly would agree. The Ritva writes this, Efsher. If you look at the Mugei Yosef, Yavamos, Daf Yuches, and Daf Yerid, Mugei Yosef writes, Vada, Abba Shaul is only a Din Rabbanan. It's not against anything. It's a Din Rabbanan. And because of this consideration to Rabbanan appropriateness, inappropriateness, Abba Shaul says, so don't do the mitzvah of Yibum. Even though Midarais is going to be Chal, but we're talking about the appropriateness, not whether there is a Chalos or whether indeed there's not. You know, there's a tshuva saramba. where did the brisker chakira come from? The Rambam, no? The tshuva saramba, simim kufayin, no? The Rambam writes, what is the machlokas of Shalom HaChatamim? No, this ties in with what we've been discussing, no? You know what? According to the Chachamim, that hukter lo ha'isr shalom. That's Lashon HaRambam, the tshuva is. Yivam ne'ishasach, ishasach is mutter. Eshesach is mutra, hutra or yotzem and haklal, that Ramban that we had in Torah Sada, in Inan Kohanim. Yibum is a davar hamutra. This Rav Eshesach is paka. According to Abba Shaul, that's not true. Dochui mipnei ha'yibum. The mitzvah of Yibum is only doche this Rav Eshesach. If it's only doche this Rav Eshesach, so dechia maybe requires kavanas hagavra. If you're going to argue that b'chi ha'gavna there is no misereshesach, so any kavana is, you know, a maila, but it is not necessary mikra din. Wow, the Rambam is mefurish. Take a look in Simon Kuf Aleph that this dion is a question of utra, duchuya, yatsa min haklal, in terms of the role of kavana sagavna, the role of kavana sagavna. So when the Ravaz discusses in the Chuvis, Rabaz discusses, you know what? In this machlokes, how should we bask? How should we bask? Like Abba Shaul, like the Chachamim, the Rabaz just throws in the line, Umaysid Yehuda in Tamar Yochiach. Take a look at the parsha. This was Yibam Kodam Atan Torah. This was Yibam Kodam Atan Torah. And clearly the mindset of Yehuda was not Yibum L'shei Mitzvah. Yehuda did not even realize that this was Tamar. How can one argue indeed that's true? So if you're going to tell me that, you know, Yibum is fulfilled, Ben B'Shogi, Ben B'Mezid, Ben Ba'onas, Ben B'Ratzon, okay. But if you can tell me it requires the Kavana Sagab, you're going to have to, like, you know, do somersaults to understand the Parsha. So therefore, the Radvaz, I'm just demonstrating that, you know what, he followed the shita of the Chachamim, not the Abba Shaul. Because Gzeres HaKosuv, Yevam HaYavlam, Yichom HaKom, like the Rambam writes, in the Kavanas HaGavri is not at all the Ikuva. So the Ravaz just simply asks, U'maisen Yehuda in Tamar Yochiyah. Lo niskav in the mitzvah klal. But yet, what do you mean? That the Yotzel, Malchei Beis David, Mashiach, Shigud HaRamenu, clearly that what was needed to be accomplished was accomplished even in that particular case. Well, if you look in the Sefer of the Pardes Yosef, he quotes Achronim, the Tiferes Menachem, and so on, that, look, Yehuda and Tamar started out as a form of Yibum. That was the attempt of, you know what, Tamar to marry Onan, a brother, the Acham Eis, that's true. But when it went to the next step of Yehuda, that was Yibum. That really was Yibum. Yeah, the Ramban writes, that was Yibum, Kodam Atan Torah, the nearest of kin. So, Enoch and Ami, it would apply to other Krovim as well. Or maybe to argue, no, that's not true. If you're talking about the Achames, that's Yibum. Kol Damatan Torah, you didn't have those restrictions of Araya, so it was permitted, but that was not within the Miskeres of Yibum. So therefore, Mufurish, another part of Yosef, writes that Abashol, Lohaya, Betoras, Yibum, and therefore, that's the answer that Abashol will tell you, that that which occurred in the Parsha was not, it resembled slightly Yibum, that certainly is true, but Yudin Tamar was not at all the Parsha of Yibum in that sense. Well, when you look at Rabbi Yosef Engel, Gemyoni Hashas, in that Sugyim, in Yivamos Neflamites, Abashol Nechachamim, there, Ganeshas writes the following Chiddush, maybe Enoch Enami is true, that Yehuda's mindset clearly was not at all L'shei Mitzvah. And Abishol says that L'shei Mitzvah is critical. But Rabbi Yosef Engel writes the following, that there is a marked difference, Yesh L'chalik. After all, why is that true? Because the Shom, when it comes to Yudin Tamar, Al Kopanim, he miskavna L'mitzvah. What was the mindset of Tamar? What was the mindset of Tamar? Oh, when Abishol was referring to an inappropriate mindset, it meant that this was not at all part of the consciousness of him or her. But even if indeed it's true that Yehuda did not intend to perform evil, but obviously that was clearly the intent of Tamar, l'hakim shem l'achiv ames. So in such a case, that is enough for the requirement of the Shema, the Shema itself. If either party would go ahead and do so. Well, there are two pieces that the Chazon Ish has. One is an Eben Ezra and Siman Kuf Lamed Aled, and the other an Eben Ezra and Siman Kuf Chav Tes. In Kuf Lamed Aled, there the Chazon Ish writes the following. Right? The Kuf Lamed Aled is the Kuri Chazon Ish on Meseches Yevamos, and what a person can put into one siman. That corresponds to Daf Mem Aleph. So there, the Chazon Ish is very, very well. Very, very well. Abishol, really, you really mean to say that there's Nisra Veshasach? You really mean to say that there's Nisra Veshasach? In a case where the Yibum is not appropriate? It's not that B'makom Yibum there is no Nisra Veshasach, but the mitzvah of Yibum is Docheshe Ad Kedei Kach, if the mitzvah is in question, so there's Nisra Veshasach. Is that really true? So the Chazon Ish writes it. When you look through Maseches Yevamos, it does not seem that way. It does not seem that way at all. The Gemara in Yevamos says a sukkim kuf yod aleph of a katan shaba al yavimta. A katan shaba al yavimta. After all, a katan. So you know what? The boy's 10 years old. She's a gdola, but he's a katan. And a katan is not capable of fulfilling the mitzvah of Yibum. A katan is not capable of fulfilling the mitzvah of Yibum. Katan bal yavimta. So the Gemara says, tekavehu. So, you know what? So, wait until he becomes a bardas. But it's clear from that sugya that if indeed a maisabi would take place, because a katan is capable of maisabi, and if this would be an ishis ish, and he's a katan, you know what? She'll be killed. He won't be. Because a katan is labar onshin, but she'll be put to death by the sevashis ish. That's a katan, yeah. But a katan is a barachi of a maisabia. No, not if he's 5. He's 10. Yes, that certainly is true. It's clear from the Gemara. But there's no isravashisach. There's no isravashisach. Even if the yavam right here and now is a katan, and even if there is a maisabia, that would not be a yibum. Isra Veshasach is paka, it's paka, al yedei zika. Or Tosus points this out much earlier, Vamos and Aflamed Heimah days. Tosus discusses the following. There's a sheet of Resh Lakish that Chalitza and Bias Mu'uberes is lo shma Chalitza and lo shma Bia. Let's say, you know, the brother dies, but the woman is expecting. And let's assume, for example, Yibum or Chalitza is done, either one. Yibum or Chalitza is done. And let's assume subsequently she miscarries. So it turns out that, you know what, she did not have any Zera, and she's a candidate for Yibum or Chalitza, but if the Yibum or Chalitza is done at the time that she is a Muberes. So Rish Lakish says the following, that you know what? That Bias Muberes is Lashma Bia. And the same thing is from Chalitza. You can't even do Chalitza at that point, because what do you mean? That Yibum and Chalitza will go together? And Yibum of Muberes is not considered to be Yibum at all? No? But Tosas points out it's clear that there's no Isser of Eish HaSach. There's no Isser of Eish HaSach. Because Eish HaSach is Puk. If it turns out that Hipila, and this is the circumstance of Yibum, that means that there's a Zika, and there's no Isser of Eish HaSach. You don't need the mitzvah of Yibum. You don't need the mitzvah of Yibum to be Doche, Isser of Eish HaSach. Isser of Eish HaSach is Pukka without. Pukka without. So the Chaznish points out that, you know, that just understanding this view of Abba Shaul, what exactly does it mean if you're performing the mitzvah of Yibum without the proper mindset of Lishma? There's an Isra of Eish HaSach. So the Chaznish is certainly not, it's no different than Katan. It's no different than Mu'uberes. There is no Isra of Eish HaSach at all. So what is the Chiddush of Abba Shaul? Oh, to distinguish between the kinyan of Yibum and the mitzvah of Yibum. The mitzvah of Yibum. Even Abba Shaul would agree. Chaznish writes us within Rover Shonim that of course Kana, of course Kana, that the Yibum would be affected. And there's no Isser of Eish HaSach. The question simply is the following. What about in the realm of the mitzvah of Yibum? Yavamo Yavala is a mitzvah. So, Abba Shaul Safar Delo Kim Mitzvahs Yibum. Despite the fact that, you know what, that Enochinami, that the Yibum is impactful, and of course there is no Isra of Eish HaSach. Why is Abba Shaul so upset about that? Because why? Why do you think the Torah was Mafkir Isra of Eish HaSach? Because of the Mitzvah of Yibum. So to have the kinyan of Yibum without the mitzvah of Yibum, that is something that is ki'ilo pogev erva. Because what's driving the fact that the isra of Eish HaSach is paka is the mitzvah of Yibum. And the act of bia is going to be performed in a way that the mitzvah goes unfulfilled. Oh, so therefore, that indeed is the case. In the instance of, let's say, a katan or muberes, the mitzvah is unfulfilled, okay. So, the katan took aleihu. So, wait till he comes to bardas, the mitzvah indeed will be fulfilled. Now, lachar shipila, now perform the yibum or the chalitza. But to have a case where this should have been a fulfillment of the mitzvah of yibum, and indeed it's not, that is what Abba Shaul, right, bemoans. Now that what is driving the fact that the Torah was mafkia the Isser, it is the mitzvah of Yibum, and to envision that you're doing so in a way where the mitzvah is chaser, so that is ki'ilu pogem erva, ki'ilu pogem erva. Wow. And then just to couple this with the Chazanish that I mentioned recently, no? Kuf Chavtes, Kuf Kesu Gimel. And why is that so important? Why is the mindset so important? Because after all, when it comes to other mitzvos, we wouldn't say this. We would not say if a person is no tel dalid minim, shelo lishma, that it's terrible, it's catastrophic, it's ki'ilu pogea. We wouldn't say that that's true. And especially the Chazanish points out as follows. When you're dealing with a case of Yibum, which is Shalom l'shem, what does it mean, shalom l'shem mitzvah? Pashut pshat, it means the following, that it's a shiluv, no? It's a combination, right? Mu'urav kavanah cheres. Mu'urav kavanah cheres, no? Language of the Chazanish. When a guy has a very nice dalet minim, maybe aside from the mitzvah, he also gets a charge, no? But if I ask the guy, are you only doing it because, no. I also admit it's a mitzvah, and I'd like to fulfill the mitzvah as well. You're talking about a combination of kavanos. So unusual, but a combination of kavanos, okay. But here we say a combination of kavanos is tragic, They asked that Chazanish Kokavtes. Yes, because here we're talking about the Chiyas Yisurin. And in the realm of Dechias Yisurin, then yes, it's true that Lishma plays the most significant role. If something typically would be forbidden and all of a sudden B'chihai Gavna is permitted, then we assume that's true, right? Because under those circumstances, where there's an override, Ein Ratzon HaTorah Ela B'mitzvah Lishma. You have to make sure that override is pristine. It's not that you're elevating a Dvar Rishus, but you're allowing that which is typically forbidden. So, in Afinami, that's a difference between Lulav and Esrog as opposed to the case of Yibum. Wow. So the Chazon Ish writes, when it comes to Yibum, a person has to split between the Chalos HaYibum and the Mitzvah of Yibum. And obviously, the Ratzon HaTorah is that the Chalos HaYibum should take place through the Mitzvahs Yibum. Of certain that's true. The Chachamim will argue that, okay, ideally, yes. And Abba Shaul will argue, no, that if somehow the Chalos Yibum is occurring, according to Rav Rishonim, right, without the Mitzvah of Yibum, without the Lishma, that's considered to be ki'ilu pogea ve'erva. This even touches on a broad issue, and I think the distinction is clear in this coming context as well. Tosus is bothered by the following. The Gemara tells us, Apsachim definitely. No, Rav Yehuda Marav, La'olam yasa godam b'torah v'mitzvos v'afopi shalo lishma, shemito shalo lishma v'alishma. Right? That's the Gemara that you know. You know what? You're lacking lishma. Stick to it. Mito shalo lishma v'alishma. Ooh. Tosus is immediately bothered. No. Atosus and brachos daf yud zayin. Atosus and tainus and daf zayin. No. What do you mean? The Gemara tells us that if a person is osik b'torah shalo lishma, noach lo shalo nivra. Brachos yud zayin. Noach lo shalo nivra. That sounds like a very different response. A person does so shalo lishma. Noach lo shalo nivra, or mito shalo lishma balishma. Mito shalo lishma balishma. Isn't that a stira gluya? So Tosus says yes. And Tosus writes that, you know what, there are different types of shalo lishma. There are different types of shalo lishma. Sometimes shalo lishma can simply mean that, you know what, a person is doing so, you know, let's say the shem kavod. Person will really know a sugya very, very well because you know what? Wow, you know, nah, he wants to, you know, make a name for himself. You know, he gets a charge out of, okay. You know what I would say about that? Then Tosa says, you know, there can be a different limud, a detrimental limud. Amanas lakanter. You know what? But he's giving the shir shlali. You know what? I'm going to thoroughly embarrass him. No? You know what? So I'm going to leave him the sugya very, very well. You know, so I can really get up and kachava. That's mitos shalo lishma balishma, to do damage. So Tosa says, you know, there are different types of shalo lishma. If shalo lishma means in a hurtful way, to use Torah as a destructive force, that's no chlo shalo nivra. The fact that you didn't reach the most pristine, ideal machshava salev, okay, then we say mitos shalo lishma balishma. Well, that's Tosa's. I'll say an amazing rafa rizarua. Yeah. Take a look at some in Simon Kupsam of Gimel. Marachor Zerua, but like amazing. Marachor Zerua says, you know what? I don't think there's any steer at all. Ooh. What's Tosus Solkasha? Noach Loshinu says, terrible. Mitosh Loshinu says, great. No, not the ideal, but pretty good. No, pretty good. You know? How can you say that's not a steer? Rachurz writes a simple thing, and you say, hey, you know, let me ask you this. You're doing the mitzvah shalishma. You know what? You ask, should I keep on doing it? Should I keep on doing this mitzvah shalishma? So I'll say, keep on doing it. Why? Why should I do it? Why should I do it? You know, I'm telling you, I have these dalet minyanim, and I'm kind of being honest that, you know what? You know, I spent so much money because, you know, should I be known to these dalet minyanim? What would you tell the guy? I would tell the guy yes.
Why would you tell the guy yes? Why would you tell the guy yes? You know what? I would tell the guy yes, because it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. To be no to the dalet meaning. So be no to the dalet meaning. No. Do the mitzvah shlo lishma because mitoch kach, by doing so, you're fulfilling a mitzvah satara. Why do you have to come on to mitosh? Mitosh shlo lishma v'al lishma almost sounds like, you know what? Right here and now, what you're doing is worthless. But the hope is that you're going to turn the corner. If you abandon it, you know, you're not going to turn the corner. But if you stay in the yeshiva and you do it, I'm hopeful you're going to turn. Why does the Gemara have to say, do a mitzvah shelo lishma because you may turn the corner? Forget about turning the corner. No, do the mitzvah shelo lishma because there's a kiyum of shelo lishma. Is it the idyllic kiyum? So it's not the idyllic kiyum, but there is a kiyum. So why do I have to say anything more? You're going to argue that Gemara just means A and B. Do a mitzvah shelo lishma because it goes without saying, but mamash without saying, that you're fulfilling the mitzvah. And also, as icing on the cake, you know what? Hopefully you can turn. What the hopefully you can turn? Do it because you're fulfilling the mitzvah. So you're not the rezerah, right? It's amaliyu marachor rezerah. If you do a mitzvah shelo lishma, you're not makayim the mitzvah. You're not makayim the mitzvah. It's the ikuva. It's the ikuva. Why continue doing so? Mitosh shelo lishma ba lishma. Because the hope is, you know, you're going to shift. You're going to shift. And what happens if you don't shift? You're so stubborn enough. What happens if you don't shift? What happens if you don't shift? Noach lo shlo nivra. If you don't shift, what you're doing now is really problematic. But you know what? It pays to persevere because, you know, the hope is you're going to flip. And if you don't flip, it's problematic. Wow, that's how the Rizara reads. That's pretty incredible, no? That's how he reads the Gemara. There's no kiyum of shelo lishma. There's no kiyum of shelo lishma. And that's why Chazal have to say, Rebbe Rav, but keep on doing it because, you know what, you'll maintain the habit, you know, oh, things can turn. But if they don't turn between you and me, like, that's really bad. No, that's really bad. What, a whole life of shelo lishma without a turn? That's really bad. Tosis is not assuming that. Tosis is assuming that obviously shelo lishma is a kiyum. If shelo lishma is a kiyum, how would you say no shelo nivra? So Tosis has to say, no, there's kind of parv and there's detrimental, hurtful kavana. Okay, that's when we say indeed that's true. Indeed that's true. The other approach, which, you know, is relevant to this whole shir, and it's siv and meishav davar, siv and mevav. And where the Nesiv just points out briefly, but that's what we've been discussing for the past several shiurim. It depends. It depends. What is it that you're doing? Is there a downside? Is there a tension? Is there an override? Is there an override? Or are you just elevating that which is, you know, problem-free? So if you're dealing with the typical mitzvah, well, of course, shelo lishma, okay, not an ideal, but gemaldik, no? You told shelo lishma, but sometimes, you can have a situation where that's not true, like Yibum, where there should have been an isser of eishes ach. And you know what? There's no override. Regarding those cases, we don't assume, mitosh shelo lishma ba lishma. Well, if there is an override, then make sure that the kavanah is considered to be absolutely pristine. You know who writes this in a different context? Take a look. The Chiddush Sheharan, Sanhedrin, I'll give you a good hint. No, Pei Beis. What's Sanhedrin Pei Beis? That's the sugya of Kanayin Pogimbo. Wow, that's a Chiddush Sheharan, no? We're coming just to that Chiddush Sheharan, no? Kanos. Kanos has to be lishma. Kanos has to be lishma. There's no room for, you know, mitosh shelo lishma when it comes to a mita of kanos. No? If a person is honestly, integral, defending kvod shamayim, you know, okay, so maybe a person can act in what one would call an extreme. But a mita of kanos, which is, you don't say in kanos, mitosh shelo lishma ba lishma. Lishma is absolutely necessary. And that's the Gemara regarding Pinchas. Pinchas sees, now what happened? No?
And any chiyuv was because of kanayim bogenvo. Wow. So Pinchas consulted with Moshe and asked the Gemara, is it appropriate for me to go ahead and to act? Is it appropriate for me? Am I worthy of the asir lishma? And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu responded. That's what the Gemara says. Moshe Rabbeinu licensed Pinchas. Yes, that you're entitled to. You're entitled to. Ein roya mimcha. There's no one more fit than you. Look, Pinchas put everything on the line. No? Pinchas was destined and he was to be a Kohen. But a Kohen showed us an Efesh. It's possible. No? Pinchas had every reason to believe that what he was going to do disqualified him from his whole mission statement. No, of Kuhuna. No? But you know what? That's not Negius. That's Lishma. That's the Chedushi Haran. The Chedushi Haran writes, you have to make sure that that's absolutely, absolutely critical. Absolutely critical. There's an amazing Rambam to take a look at. No? The Rambam is in Chav Dalet of Hilchos Sanhedrin. The Rambam writes the following. But you know what? Imagine you're a dayan. And you're called upon to enforce the Dini HaTorah. Okay, so you enforce the Dini HaTorah. Fine. But then the Rambam writes, take a look, Perichav Dalet, beginning Halacha Dalet, through Halacha Yud. The Rambam writes, but realize, the Dayan also has another role. A Dayan, a Bezdin, that Yesh le Bezdin the Halkos Misha Einu Mechuyev Malkos. Sometimes, you know what? A Dayan, a Bezdin, has to do something above and beyond the Shuras Adin. Above and beyond the Shuras Adin. Wow. Sometimes an onesh has to be meted out, even if technically speaking, a person is not chayiv. You know what that's called? Makin va'onshin shalom en hadin. Makin va'onshin shalom en hadin. Where does all of that come from? Pashup Shah, the first Yom HaDvar Avram. That's Midin Melech. No, that's the Joshua Saran. Joshua Yud Aleph. If you can't over Shabbos, no. Take a look at that Joshua Saran. The justice system of the Torah is two-tiered. There's a Shofet and there's a Melech. Shofet enforces the halacha. And the Melech has to make sure, Melech b'mishpat yamin aretz, that society is run in a proper way. Because to put someone to death as a rotzeach, mezid, hasra, toke de divor, yatrat smolamisa, how often do you think that happened? The Melech has to make sure that society functions. And that magnificent run, that's why a Melech has to have a Sefer Torah. Because precisely because a melech has the more elastic authority of makim von shishlom and adin, you have to have checks, you have to have balances. V'hai sima, v'kar b'kol yimei chayav. That's why the Torah insists that the melech has to have the sefer Torah. And the Ran writes, if you don't have a melech, the shofet wears both hats. The shofet can work b'torah shofet, that's makim von shishlom and adin, and b'torah smelech, makim von shishlom and adin. And that's what the Rambam describes as halacha after halacha, perach abdallah. That you know what? A biz that has the responsibility to see to it that society is functioning b'derach Hashem. And sometimes that means that makin ronshin, shalom and adin. And then it goes on and on and on and on and on. Gives you one example after another. Ooh. And the Rambam says, you have to realize that, you know, you have to make sure that it's warranted. You have to be incredibly careful. You know, that koch of makin v'onshin shlom hadin can be subject to incredible abuse, like the Ran writes when it comes to a melech. And the Ram just concludes, right? Uvakol yihyu masav l'shem shamayim. And you better make sure that it's lishma. No, you better make sure the Ram writes that it's lishma. You know, if something is exactly the shura sahalacha, okay. Mitosh shalo lishma ba lishma. You're talking about like overreaching. Kanayim bogevo. You're talking about makin v'onshin shalom en hadin. You're talking about, you know, yibum, which typically would be an issue of gilei raios. And there's an override. Some sofer writes in his tshuvas, you know, in siman reish ches, that you want to write a sefer, that's gavaldik, you know? But, you know, writing a sefer is not such a simple thing. Gittin daf samach. Torah shebal peh is supposed to be bal peh. It's not supposed to be redacted. What's the answer? An override. What's an override? Eis lasos l'Hashem? Oh, so that's the psalm sofer. You better make sure you're doing so lishma. No? You're not writing because of this, you're not writing because of that, you're not writing because, you know, and you want your name to be out there. No? You're writing it because
You want to be Marbet Kod Shamayim? No, Arbat Sator, Marbet Kod Shamayim. And there, right, if some sofer writes, you know, their lishma is pretty critical. It's pretty critical. I'll give you one last point, and then we'll go. The Gemara brachos, chavches, the bracha of Olam Hashini. Well, the Gemara mentions, you know, you coined that bracha with a heavy heart. With a heavy heart. No? Who's going to coin such a bracha? So the Gemara writes, brachos chavches, no, Amad Shmuel HaKatan, Betikna. Shmuel HaKatan was the one who authored that bracha. Comment, huh? What was the problem? It has to be lishma. It has to be lishma. You know, so, Shmuel HaKatan, now in Perkei Avos, Dal Yechez, bin ful yivchal tismach. Bin ful yivchal tismach. In an obvious question, now, Shmuel HaKatan Omer, it's a pasuk in Mishlei. Like, if you're very yeshivish, you know, why would you call a pasuk if it's a Gemara? No, it's like, you know, a Mishnah. No, it's a pasuk in Mishnah. Shmuel HaKatan Omer. You know what the answer is? The Tashrei. No. You know what Hu Haya Omer means in Perkei Avos? It doesn't mean this is what they said. It means this is who they were. No? This is who they were. You know, Shmuel HaKatan, that's the pasuk that exemplified who Shmuel HaKatan was. That's what Rosh Hashanah pointed out. You have a brach of Lama Shinim. You know, yeah, the brach is going to wreak havoc. No. You better make sure that that's something which is lishma. And therefore, the Gemara says, I'm a shmala katan v'tekna. V'nfleyev v'tisna, the life of v'nfleyev v'tisna. Right? That if it's necessary, ashot shrikhalo, the Rambam, you have to do it. But you have to make sure that you masa the shem shomayim.